Next week, deep inside a permafrost mountain in Norway, a vault will be opened. It's called the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. It was established in 2008, and inside it live thousands of seeds from all over the world. Those seeds represent about 40% of the world's seed diversity, and 60,000 new seed samples are about to be added. It's part of an effort of the Crop Trust, an organization that helps manage a global network of food crop seeds. The seeds for plants from coconuts to coffee are a backup for the global food supply, a kind of Noah's Ark in case of natural disaster or famine. Seems like a futurist idea, but that vault actually has its roots in World War II. Ben Brock Johnson from the podcast Endless Thread discovered the story of Svalbard's precursor on Reddit.
The history of the Svalbard vault begins not in Norway, but nearby in Russia, with a man named Nikolai Vavilov. His life's work? Creating the richest seed supply the world had ever seen at the time, hidden away, underground, in its own vault, in what is now the city of St. Petersburg. Back then, it had a different name, Leningrad, and Leningrad was under siege. Okay, you know how people say so-and-so wrote the book on X? Well, agricultural ecologist, ethnobotanist, and Franciscan brother Gary Nabhan wrote the book on our Russian botanist Nikolai Vavilov.
Well, Vavilov was from a very well-educated family in Russia. I think every one of his siblings became a scientist as well.
The book is called Where Our Food Comes From, Retracing Nikolai Vavilov's Quest to End Famine.
He grew up in a period where Russia and Eastern Europe had suffered one famine after another due to inclement weather causing crop failures.
These famines that he grew up with, how serious were they?
They were of epic proportions. From the 1860s on, there were six major famines that killed over 500,000 people in Eastern Europe and Russia.
Vavilov's upbringing around these horrendous crop failures and famines leads him to learn a ton about plants and botany. And as he is doing his work as a botanist in the 1920s, he starts to get into this idea that collecting the plants or the seeds might help fight off crop failures because he might be able to breed the plants and find certain strains that could resist bad weather and thus famine.
There were people with their eyes on the same prize earlier on in history. Thomas Jefferson, for example, who collected seeds and brought back cuttings of plants to the Americas. But Vavilov was the first one who had the education in what we would call evolutionary biology, how plants adapt to different climates and conditions. He had sort of this humanitarian set of values that underscored the way he did science in sort of a remarkable way. I mean, he really was a superstar up there with Charles Darwin and other people that we could mention.
Vavilov is by many measures one of the world's seminal plant geneticists, but he also doesn't want any Russian, really any human, to die again because of famine. Over time, this remarkable humanitarian way of doing science gains Vavilov a lot of followers. And over his career, Vavilov does something that is pretty incredible. He and his team of scientists gather hundreds of thousands of different kinds of seeds from 64 countries. It takes over 100 different expeditions to do this. He's like Russia's Indiana Jones of seed collection. And he is super charismatic. He's handsome. He's good at raising money. But he's not without his detractors. Everybody famous has some haters. And Vavilov's got a problem. That problem's name is Trofim Lysenko. Lysenko starts out as a student of Vavilov, and Vavilov encourages him. But then Lysenko gets into this weird pseudoscience that rejects the idea of genetics. And he becomes this, like, anti-science-based agriculture guy, which is a little odd because he also becomes the head of the Academy of Agricultural Sciences. Lysenko doesn't like Vavilov. They are rivals now. And Lysenko gains the ear and the favor of Stalin. It's August of 1940. You can almost guess what happens next.
Vavilov was out on another collecting expedition in the Caucasus, found what he believed was a new subspecies of wild wheat that could be very effective because it was so drought tolerant. And as he was coming back to his vehicle, several black unmarked cars from the KGB or its predecessor showed up. Vavilov was scuttled away and disappeared from public sight.
So Vavilov is thrown into a prison in Leningrad, a.k.a. St. Petersburg. The prison is like a stone's throw from his family home. Vavilov's family members would pass by without even knowing he was right there. And his followers don't know where he is either. But they have a mission, Vavilov's mission, of preserving and studying the world's food crops, of killing hunger forever. His mission has a headquarters. It's this building at 44 Herson Street in St. Petersburg.
His staff sort of came together. They adored this man and said, we can't let anything happen to this collection. We don't know what's going to happen. And so they put 3 to 5 of their staffers on duty 24 hours a day and sealed off 18 rooms because there was another threat about to hit St. Petersburg.
The siege of Leningrad starts in 1941, a year after Vavilov disappears into a gulag. And it lasts for the majority of the entire war, nearly 900 days. The city was cut off on the north by the Finnish army and the south by the German army. And at the time, it was one of the most destructive attacks on a major city in known history. Constant bombing, lack of food and water. People would actually rush into the craters after bombs would drop because water gathered in the craters. That's how they got their water. And through all of this, people are starving to death in Leningrad. Everyone, Russian soldiers, government officials, also the families of the scientists who are protecting, secretly protecting, this massive seed bank. They are putting the location of the bank and the fact that it is full of food, seeds, rice, legumes, in the metaphorical vault. They are not telling anyone. And they are really freaking out, by the way, because Hitler is rumored to be really focused on capturing the seeds in this seed bank as part of his world domination efforts. So it really is a high-stakes mission.
So think of it. You're starving to death. Your family is. You opt for staying in this very powerfully positioned, well-guarded building, and your weight is going down. Your immune system is going down. And as one of the curators said, when someone asked him, was it hard for all of you to try to keep defending the seeds when you could have eaten them to improve your own personal health? He said, well, it was hard to wake up in the morning. It was hard to get on our feet because we were so weak. It was hard to get our clothes on because it was cold. But it was not hard to protect those seeds.
Tell me the story about the pea collection curator.
Alexander Skukin took care of peas, peanuts, and other legumes. And he was one of the ones who died in the first year of the effects of starvation with his seed envelopes in his hand. We know that other people died of diseases carried by rats that they were trying to evict from eating the seeds. A rice collector named Dmitry Ivanov, he died within just a few feet of 1,000 packets of rice that just by boiling up water, cooking the rice could have saved his life.
Overall, 12 scientists died protecting Vavilov's life's work during the siege of Leningrad, most of starvation. As for Vavilov, after a year and a half of eating frozen cabbage and moldy flour, he also died of starvation. He never made it out of the gulag. But the seeds survived, and so did the mission. The Svalbard Seed Vault in Norway is a direct descendant of Vavilov's work. And that building in St. Petersburg is now the Vavilov Institute of Plant Industry. You visited the seed vault in St. Petersburg a few years back. What was that like for you?
In my years of doing science, I've only wept twice. And once was in Hawaii when I saw 15 different endangered species, the last individual of many of those species, all sitting on one table in a nursery, and there were none of those species left in the wild. I felt the same way when I saw the wall of photos of those 12 scientists, Russian scientists, who gave up their lives to save those seeds. I was brokenhearted.
What did you see in their faces?
The best that any of us can hope to be on behalf of our fellow creatures.